Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, October 4th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, MDC approves demolition contracts. Midland City Council to have final okay before downtown buildings come down in January. By Mella McEwen. Midland's downtown landscape will soon look different after the Board of Directors of the Midland Development Corporation formally agreed to demolish several buildings it owns. Board members agreed to execute a contract with Midwest Wrecking Company of Texas for $3.45 million to bring down the Western United Life Building at 300 West Texas Avenue, as well as West Texas Gas Buildings at 211 and 221 North Colorado, and 210 North Big Spring Street, purchased from the J.L. Davis family. Board members also approved a consulting services agreement with Vandergrift Group Architects for $212,000 for services related to the demolition. The demolition will now go before the City Council for approval, which is expected. Councilmember Lori Blong said members supported the project and Councilmember Dan Corrales agreed, telling board members demolition was past due. Once the contracts receive final approval, the process for demolishing the buildings is expected to begin in January of 2023, take 3 to 4 months. Representatives with Midwest Wrecking said some preliminary work will be done, and once utilities are disconnected, the process can speed towards a conclusion. Board members also considered a resolution for proposals to develop not only the site of the West Texas Gas Properties and Western United Life Building, but also the site of the Building of the Southwest, which was demolished in March 2019. After lengthy discussion among board members and Blong and Corrales about the scoring metric for proposals, it was agreed to change the metrics on certain selection criteria. Items 2, value of private investment in downtown Midland, 3, ratio of private to public investment, 4, financial capabilities, and 7, concept aesthetics, 20 points each. Items 5, expediency of proposed timeline, 6, long-term downtown impact and concept marketability, and 8, project team qualifications, 10 points each. The City Council will also approve the request for proposals form. Board members set a deadline of January 31, 2023 to receive letters of intent and March 31, 2023 for proposals. Not sending in a letter of intent will not disqualify an interested party from submitting a proposal by the March deadline. A committee comprised of MDC, city and community volunteers will evaluate the proposals. Stephen Lowry, MDC chair, said there has already been interest expressed in developing that block that comprises 1.93 acres of downtown Midland. This article is entitled Role Model Motivates Lamar Principle by Trevor Hawes. Teachers change lives, a fact C.C. Montgomery, principal of Lamar Elementary, knows firsthand. Montgomery struggled in kindergarten and first grade, her challenge common yet often unaddressed. "I was disinterested in what I was being taught, plain and simple," the Jacksonville, Texas native said. "I would do whatever I could to just get the day over with, and I even figured out ways to cheat on tests. I was on a path of destruction," she added with a laugh. That changed in second grade. She credits Deborah Wade, her second grade teacher, with motivating her to learn and altering the trajectory of her life. "Mrs. Wade was phenomenal," Montgomery said. "What she did differently was took time with students to ensure they understood the material and affirmed students when they were successful. She made me feel good about learning, and it was this experience that imbued in me a lifelong love of learning. The experience was also key in crafting her approach to education as a nurturer. Working in education is perfect for me because I love developing people into becoming successful, Montgomery said. As a child, I was the one who played teacher with my dolls. Even my teddy bears were my students. After high school, where she was a three-sport athlete, Montgomery entered the University of Texas at Tyler as a pre-law major. She set her sights on becoming a judge. However, after a rash of judges nationwide were threatened and even attacked, she changed course and studied English literature with the intention of making her mark in the classroom. Once she found herself in the classroom as a teacher instead of a student, she realized that what she learned about teaching in college is but a sliver of knowledge an educator needs to be effective. To be a teacher means becoming a master of multitasking, Montgomery said. Ensuring each child gets a great education is challenging when you have 25, 30 unique personalities at a given time. However, you have to get to know each individual child. You have to invest your time in them. You have to nurture them, let them know you care. Montgomery's pathway to administration was through instruction. After earning her master's in instructional leadership from Lamar University, she applied for an assistant principal position, but didn't get it. I just wasn't ready yet, she said. I didn't get what I wanted, but I got what I needed. She jumped on the opportunity to be an instructional coach. I'm a go-getter for other people, and my superpower was working side by side with other teachers. Montgomery rose through the ranks as an assistant principal and academic dean before signing on as a principal in Crockett ISD. She had spent the entirety of her life in East Texas until an advertisement on LinkedIn piqued her interest, and she answered the call. She saw that Midland ISD was searching for a new principal at Lamar Elementary, and after much research and soul-searching, she applied, interviewed, and trained it in the piney woods for the Petroplex. People don't work for jobs or companies. People work for people, Montgomery said. When I arrived in Midland, I knew this is where I wanted to be. And I feel like I've been blessed to be at Lamar. Montgomery is in her second year at Lamar and 16th in education overall. I tell my kids that they can do whatever they put their mind to, she said. Education has to be innovative, and we have great kids and the right people in place to achieve academic excellence and give students the tools they need to become whatever they want to be. Trevor Hawes is a communication specialist at Midland ISD. This article is entitled Dual Credit Students Impact MC's Enrollment by Ben Schaffer. Midland College's enrollment for the fall semester is 5,177 students, a drop from 5,355 last fall and 5,454 in 2018. Administrators at the college said this enrollment number is slightly lower than they were expecting. However, this is because there are fewer dual-credit students attending. Dual-credit students are high schoolers taking college courses. Last week, the Reporter-Telegram reported the University of Texas Permian Basin's enrollment numbers, which is 5,713 students overall, including graduate students, for the four-year university. MC enrollment numbers for the last 5 years, 2018, 5,454, 2019, 5,380, 2020, 5,414, 2021, 5,355, 2022, 5,177. This column is called Brief. It's entitled, MISD, Student Makes Weapons Threat on Bus. MISD reported Monday that a Midland High student made a threat regarding a weapon while on a school bus. At approximately 8:30 this morning, an MHS student made a threat regarding a weapon while on a school bus, MISD reported. MISD police were immediately dispatched to intercept the bus and clear the bus lane. The student was searched and no weapon was found. Midland ISD said that all threats are taken seriously, as student and campus safety is a top priority. A false threat is also a crime, and students who make threats will be punished accordingly. This article is by the Midland Reporter-Telegram. This article is entitled, New Restaurant Receives Special Use Designation, by Mella McEwen. A new restaurant is set to take up residence at 4501 West Wadley Avenue in the former Tokyo Express location. At Monday's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, commissioners unanimously approved a request by Zanwei Deng for a specific use designation with term for the sale of all alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant at the planned Szechuan House restaurant. Szechuan House will be a 2,986-square-foot restaurant with an alcohol serviceable area of 1,483 square feet. Seating capacity will be 92 people. Proposed hours are from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Alcohol service hours will be the same. Commissioners also approved a proposed plat of Mockingbird Ridge, a 317.56-acre tract of land at North Fairgrounds Road and East Mockingbird Road, at the request of Maverick Engineering on behalf of Beaton Bow Homes. Commissioners had approved a zone change from SF3, Single Family Dwelling District in part, TH, Townhouse Dwelling District in part, SF2, Single Family Dwelling District in part, MF16, Multiple Family Dwelling District in part, SF1, Single Family Dwelling District in part, 2F, Two Family Dwelling District in part, and RR, Regional Retail District in part, to PD, Planned District for Housing Development, at the August 15th meeting. Mockingbird Ridge will be comprised of 924 residential lots, one 6.235-acre retail lot, and approximately 72.91 acres of green space comprised of parks, walking trails, common areas, and drainage ponds. Commissioners also approved a request by Erica Hernandez for a zone change from HI, Heavy Industrial District, to SF3, Single Family Dwelling District, in order to construct a house at 1301 South Street. This article is entitled, Midland County, Deputy Not Indicted for Shooting in March, by Stuart Doreen. A Midland County Sheriff's Office deputy was no-billed, or not indicted, by a grand jury last week in the shooting of a 14-year-old in Northwest Midland in March, according to Midland County officials. The deputy, who was off duty at the time, shot Juan Herrera outside at the Sandstone Ridge Apartments located southwest of the intersection of Sherwood Drive and Holiday Hill Road. That shooting had been confirmed at the time by Midland County and the Department of Public Safety. The shooting had taken place around 2:20 a.m. on March 3rd. The deputy who was involved in the shooting is without injury and was placed on administrative leave pending further investigations, according to DPS. The shooting was investigated by the Texas Rangers. This article is entitled, MDC OKs Negotiation of Lease Agreement with Firehawk Aerospace, by Mella McEwen. Midland's aerospace community could be getting a bit bigger. Midland Development Corporation directors Monday authorized Chairman Stephen Lowry to negotiate a lease agreement with Firehawk Aerospace to utilize a 0.92-acre parcel of MDC land on State Highway 191. Lowry will conduct negotiations with the company along with MDC board member Brad Bullock. On its website, Firehawk Aerospace says it is expanding aerospace and defense capabilities with next-generation hybrid rockets. The company designs and manufactures modern high-performance hybrid rocket engines. Firehawk says its engines have the efficiency and power of a liquid bipropellant engine, but are simpler, safer, and far less costly. Firehawk partners include Raytheon Missiles and Defense, the National Aerospace Agency, Air Force Research Laboratory, and Capital Factory. Headquartered in Melbourne, Florida, the company also has a facility in Carrollton. This column is called Commentary. It is entitled Social Emotional Learning Programs Under Scrutiny by Stuart Doreen, staff columnist. At the regularly scheduled school board meeting in September, Midland ISD leaders heard from five people about its Character Strong program and its social and emotional learning curriculum. Comments made during the public comment period included that the school district was forcing programming on Midland ISD students and their families that aren't consistent with community values. They were not pleased with the lack of an opt-out of the curriculum. This commentary is an attempt to help explain what the Character Strong and Achieve 3000 programs are about, according to the district. It also offers the district's views on the board-approved programs and the opportunities in place to learn more about the information and opt-out scenarios. What is Character Strong? According to MISD, Character Strong is a research-based curriculum for social and emotional learning. Social and emotional learning is an intentional focus in schools to make sure students have access to supports to be well and acquire life skills such as goal setting, responsible decision making, and regulating emotions and resolving conflict. Character education is skills to be civic-minded, socially responsible, healthy, and kind, the district stated. What is Achieve 3000? According to the district, Achieve 3000 is a supplemental resource for reading for grades 7 to 10. At San Jacinto, it is also provided to 6th graders. It provides nonfiction passages for students to read based upon their reading level and asks them questions about the text. Each passage is categorized by grade level and reading level. How often do students take Character Strong? According to the district, the curriculum at the elementary level is incorporated into morning routines such as morning announcements. Some campuses also incorporate it into their PE and arts classes. There is not a specific Character Strong class. At the junior high and high school level, the curriculum is provided during advisory period. Some campuses take one day of the week to do the whole lesson. Others take 15 minutes each day, according to the district. How often do students take Achieve 3000? It is used one time a week in English classes and twice a month in social studies and science classes, according to the district. When was Character Strong selected? Why was this material selected? Character Strong was approved by the board in November 2021, according to MISD. The material was selected as a strategy to comply with the text requirement to provide instruction in positive character traits and personal skills. Why is the school system providing instruction in positive character traits and personal skills? In accordance with the rules adopted by the State Board of Education, SBOE, school districts are required to provide instruction in the text for positive character traits and personal skills, according to the school district. Schools may provide the required instruction in a variety of arrangements, including through a standalone course, or by integrating the positive character trait standards in the text for one or more courses or subject areas at the appropriate grade levels. The curriculum adopted by the district specifically addresses the social and emotional needs of students. Encouraging a sense of well-being and belonging helps them focus on academic learning. Does Character Strong include instruction on gender, race, or sexual orientation. MISD says no. When was Achieve 3000 selected? Why was this material selected? It has been in use since 2019 and renewed annually, most recently in June 2022, according to the school district. It was selected to provide supplemental, textbook-aligned nonfiction reading content for students. It is formatted to prepare students for STAR 2.0 informational text sections and the writing component for science and social studies. When asked if there is a critical race theory element in either program, the district said no. They said the same about gender issues like gender dysphoria. District officials also addressed what opportunities there are for student opt-out and parental involvement with Character Strong and Achieve 3000 programs. The district states the following is the policy for opting out of a lesson. The district's policy for opting out aligns with Section 26.010 of the Texas Education Code, which provides that a parent is entitled to remove the parent's child temporarily from a class or other school activity that conflicts with the parent's religious or moral beliefs. However, the statute does not allow a parent to opt out to prevent the child from taking a subject for an entire semester. About parental review. The district stated parents can create an account at https://www.character-strong.com/family-welcome-link/ to view the material for 30 days. If they do not wish to create an account, they can come to the school and view it on an administrator's computer or observe the lesson in school, MISD stated. In regards to Achievement 3000, parents can log into the program using their students' credentials at any time to see the materials. Parents can review digital and printed instructional materials at https://sites.google.com/midlandisd.net/instruction-A1 materials. Are there reasons for Midland ISD parents to be concerned when they hear the trigger terms like CRT or social and emotional learning? Yes. An Achieve 3000 document from the website explains culturally responsive literacy instruction from education leaders at Achieve 3000's 2020 Virtual National Literacy Summit. The topics included Literacy for All, Understanding and Responding to Racial Injustice for Education, Cultivating Genius, an Equity Model for Culturally and Historically Responsive Literacy, How to Become the Educator Your Students Need, Achieve 3000 Commitment to Social Justice. To this document, MISD responded with the following. This publication represents the views of three individuals who have no relationship to Midland ISD. Their views are their own. Achieve 3000 was selected based on its alignment to MISD's curriculum as a supplemental tool to support literacy and preparation for STAR. The truth, when it comes to Achieve 3000, Character Strong, or any program offered inside Midland ISD, or any school, is parents can be involved as much as they want to be. Don't like part of the lesson? Opt out of that day. Have concerns about what is being said by others? Look it up for yourself or ask to sit in that day. A friend of the Reporter Telegram told me recently that her antenna is up when it comes to Character Strong and Achieve 3000. She has looked over lessons from multiple grades and doesn't have problems with what she has seen. She is still going to check on the lessons moving forward. She recommends others do the same. She hopes the district is sincere in its efforts to support parents' rights and allow parents to determine what is best for each family. The district says it has set up parents to do just that. This is the obituary column. Tuesday, October 4th. Alan Michael Salas. Alan Michael Salas, 30, of Midland, passed away on September 29th. Viewing will be on Tuesday, October 4th from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Rosary will be recited at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, October 4th at Nally Pickle and Welch. Funeral service will be held Wednesday, October 5th at 10 a.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. Alan Michael was born July 11, 1992, in Hobbs, New Mexico. He was born to Edward M. Salas, Jr., 56, of Seagraves, and Rebecca Ray Salas, 50, of Hobbs. Alan Michael is survived by his wife, Ashley Salas, and his daughter, Abigail Salas, parents Edward and Rebecca Salas, sisters Naomi and Juliana Salas, brothers Marcus and Aiden Salas, grandparents Francisca Salas, and Ruben and Clara Aranda of Hobbs. Alan Michael is preceded in death by Grandpa Eduardo M. Salas, his aunt Esmerella Pazon, and cousins Adrian Salas and Eric Noel Carrasco. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Guadalupe G. Rangel. Guadalupe G. Rangel, 60, of Midland, passed away peacefully with her family at her side September 30th. Born August 2, 1962, in Midland, to the late Juan Gonzalez and Luisa Garza Gonzalez. Left to cherish her memory are her husband, Aiden Rangel, daughters Luisa Martinez Rivas, Matt Rivas, Lisabeth Holguin, Simon Cantu, Adriana Rangel, Sarah Rangel, and Juanita Rangel, a sister Maggie Dabalos of Shafter, California, as well as five grandchildren and four great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, Juan Gonzalez and Luisa Gonzalez, daughter Lina N. Martinez, and siblings Manuela Dabalos, Hilario Dabalos, Marcelino, Poco Dabalos. Visitation will be on Tuesday, October 4th at Avalos, Sanchez, and Thomas Funeral Home from 9 a.m. until 8 p.m., with a rosary being recited at 7 p.m. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, October 5th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Larita May Sue Reeves Stewart. Larita May Sue Reeves Stewart departed this earthly world for her heavenly home on September 30th. A graveside service will be held at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland at 11 a.m. Tuesday, October 4th, under the direction of Cornerstone Funeral Directors of Plainview. Officiating the service will be Gabe Moody, chaplain of Traditions Hospice. Sue was born on October 6, 1929, in Marysville, Texas, to Arben and Lily Reeves. She married Albert Stewart on January 30, 1947, in Midland, where they spent many years before moving to San Angelo. Sue was residing in Hale County at the time of her death. Sue is preceded in death by her husband Albert, her daughter Barbara, her son Guy, her grandson John Coleman, her son-in-law Sam Coleman, her parents Arben and Lily Reeves, three brothers, six sisters, and several nieces and nephews. Those left to cherish her memory are daughters Brenda Coleman of Hale Center, Gwen Fredrickson of San Angelo, daughter-in-law Dana Stewart of Midland, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Death notices. Duke Rausch. Duke Rausch, 66, of Midland, passed away October 2nd. Memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, October 6th, at First Presbyterian Church in Midland. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Joy Dickman. Joy Dickman of Gardendale died on September 27th in Odessa. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, October 4th at 1 p.m. at American Heritage Funeral Home. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory in Midland. Mandy Michelle Porter. Mandy Michelle Porter, 45, of Midland, passed away October 1st. Memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, October 5th, at Nellie Pickle and Wells Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Ramiro M. Luna. Ramiro M. Luna, 94, of Midland, passed away October 1st. Viewing will be from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, October 5th, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home. Rosary will be recited at 7 p.m. Wednesday, October 5th, at Nellie Pickle and Welsh Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. Thursday, October 6th, at St. Anne's Catholic Church, with interment following at Fairview Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, October 4th. Andrews man gets 20 years in solicitation. An Andrews married father of two who erroneously thought he was meeting a 14-year-old girl for anal sex and who had 6 grams of methamphetamine in his wallet was sentenced to 20 years in prison Monday. Judge Justin Lowe of the 161st Ector County District Court told Dakota Beal, 25, his decision was heavily influenced by the fact his phone records indicated that 1 week before he arranged to meet an undercover officer posing as an underage girl, he was searching extremely violent content pertaining to forced anal sex. The judge said he is convinced if Beal had actually met an underage girl that night in January, he would be facing a first-degree felony charge. Beal's attorneys, Kelsey Robbins and Ben Flory, had asked Lowe to place their client on probation, noting he had no prior criminal history, family support, and a steady work history. Beal testified he was willing to undergo any sex offender treatment or drug treatment required by the probation department. I was in a dark place. I can't really tell you why, Beal told the judge. I am very sorry. It's not something a normal person would do. It's not something a good person would do. Beal was arrested January 12th by DPS special agents and Odessa Police Department officers who were part of a sting operation designed to catch human traffickers and sexual predators. The jury took an hour Friday before convicting Beal on one count of online solicitation of a minor and one count of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance. He was facing 2 to 20 years on the solicitation count and 5 to 99 years on the drug charge. The judge gave him 20 years in each count, but had to run the sentences concurrently under Texas law. According to evidence presented by Assistant Ector County District Attorneys Ricky Ernest and Courtney Williams, Beal responded to an adult female profile set up on the dating app MeetMe by an undercover special agent. A short time later, the special agent and Beal began texting each other and continued their conversation even after the special agent told Beal he was a 14-year-old girl. Jurors were given copies of the texts, which showed that as soon as the agent said he was a 14-year-old girl, the conversation turned explicit with discussions of meeting and what acts Beal wanted to perform. Beal also sent the agent a photo of an erect penis. Beal was arrested that night after officers observed him driving near Crockett Middle School, where the two had arranged to meet. Officers found more than 4 grams of methamphetamine in his wallet under the seat of his car. Texas Department of Public Safety Special Agent Eric Wapples testified Monday. He reviewed a month's worth of internet searches and text messages on Beal's phones around the time of Beal's arrest. He said the vast majority of the searches and texts pertain to anal sex, with Beal offering prostitutes $150 to $200 for the act. In arguing for 20-year terms, Ernest argued she had no doubt Bill would have had unprotected anal sex with an underage girl January 12th, thinking that he'd gotten a bargain. He texted the undercover officer he'd give her $20 for waiting for him, she reminded the judge. Bill told the judge that until he heard all of the evidence against him, he had convinced himself he wasn't guilty. Bill also told the judge he had plans to meet with escorts and prostitutes, but never actually met them. Major upgrades. Mission Center making facility improvements. Workers at the Permian Basin Mission Center hope some improvements to their facility will help them in their mission to meet both the physical and spiritual needs of those they serve and help the community better see who they are. Both the front of the building and the poles received new paint, and the driveway was repaved. New Executive Director Hank Herrick said he hopes the improvements and information about what the Mission Center does will help people realize we're not an abandoned warehouse and that we are significantly helping the community. The Interdenominational Benevolence Center, located at 208 Adams Avenue, helps provide eligible residents with food boxes, clothes, rent, and utility assistance. Herrick said the 40 to 50 pound food boxes, which include both dry goods and refrigerated items, are pushed in carts to deliver to those who come to the facility in their vehicles. He said the repaved driveway with a slope named the Gabe Slope after the pantry warehouse supervisor Gabriel Reyes makes it easier for the workers to get those boxes to those who need them. Reyes said he offers words of encouragement and prayers with those he senses may need it. He said meeting both the physical and spiritual needs is the original mission of the couple who founded the center back in 1998. The center is funded by donations from various organizations, including United Way of Odessa, Abel Hanger in Midland, various area companies, and individuals. The center also holds a yearly fundraiser, Odessa's Got Talent. Herrick said the Mission Center has seen an increase in the numbers of family, 637 new clients since the beginning of the year it serves because of the inflation. He said the center has given out $13,000 to help with utilities, $12,000 to help with rent, and said more than $54,000 worth of food has been distributed to at least 6,000 different families. The Mission Center is open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and the food pantry is open 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., Monday through Thursday. For more information about the center, call 432-337-0554. Registration opens for Parade of Lights, Parade of Lights Market. Downtown Odessa Incorporated announced that registration for the Parade of Lights and Parade of Lights Market opens Saturday, a City of Odessa press release stated. The Parade of Lights will start at 6:30 p.m. December 3rd. The parade route begins at 23rd Street on Andrews Highway and will travel south where it will turn west on 3rd Street to Medical Center Hospital. Participants are encouraged to register early due to registration closing at 175 organization entries. Downtown Odessa Incorporated invites the community to spend the day downtown enjoying local restaurants, shops, and other events in conjunction with the Parade of Lights. The Parade of Lights Market and Letters to Santa will begin at 2 p.m. December 3rd. The market will be located on Texas Avenue between 3rd and 5th Streets. Vendors of all kinds will be set up alongside food trucks and the kids' inflatables. Walk through Texas Avenue to find family fun for all ages. The market will close at 10 p.m. Bring your children to the Copper Rose Building downtown at 415 North Grant Avenue from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for Letters to Santa. Children will have an opportunity to write their letter to Santa, put it in Santa's mailbox, and get their free picture with Santa. At 5 p.m., Santa will be leaving to prepare for his appearance in the parade. To register your float or to sign up as a market or food truck vendor, visit Downtown Odessa Incorporated website at tinyurl.com/ym3bdk67. For questions or concerns, please call Downtown Odessa Incorporated's office at 432-335-4682. Quick hits, free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screening from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. FAFSA TAFSA Night. University of Texas Permian Basin will host FAFSA TAFSA Night today in room 2130 of the Mesa Building. Check-in starts at 5:30 p.m. and the event runs from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Those attending should bring their IRS tax returns or tax transcripts and W-2s for the year 2021. Dependent students will need to bring parent tax documents as well. Visit utpb.edu. National Night Out. The Odessa Police Department has scheduled National Night Out from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today. The event will take place across the entire city. National Night Out is designed to heighten crime and drug prevention awareness, generate support for and participation in local anti-crime partnerships, and send a message to criminals letting them know that neighborhoods are organized and fighting back. To learn more, visit tinyurl.com/498p4vhv. FAFSA in Espanol. Odessa College, 201 West University Boulevard, has scheduled an Hispanic Heritage event, FAFSA in Espanol, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. today at the Keith Learning Lab Learning Resource Center. Visit odessaedu.com. Exhibition, reception, and workshop. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled an exhibition, A Permanent Record, featured works by Heidi Petrie from now through November 19th. Visit odessaarts.org/calendar or ector.lib.tx.us. Exhibitions. Ballroom Marfa, 108 East San Antonio Street, Marfa, has scheduled the viewing of projects Carolina Cecido and David De Rosas at the Museum of Modern Art through January 2, 2023. To learn about the artist's process of making the works, listen to their transmissions interview at tinyurl.com/4JTHKX5W. Lawsuit against ECUD filed. Will Kapoff and Troy Walker, two directors of the Ector County Utility District, have filed a lawsuit against ECUD and three other directors in the hopes of having November's election halted. According to the lawsuit filed in Ector County District Court, September 28th, under state laws passed in the late 1990s, two cohorts of directors are supposed to be elected every other even year, and ECUD has failed to do so after 2002 and until 2016. The lawsuit alleges that in 2016, 2018, and 2020, the wrong people were put up for election, and the same thing is happening again this year. The lawsuit further alleges the Water Code has its own specific directive that elections are to take place in May of each even-numbered year. Kapoff made a motion to cancel November's election during ECUD's meeting September 24th, but the motion died for lack of a second. The lawsuit states, Kapoff and Walker named ECUD President Tommy Irvin and directors Margaret Burton and Stephanie Shaw as defendants in the case. phone calls to Irvin were not returned. The plaintiffs want a judge to declare the board's November election void and to declare a temporary restraining order, preliminary injunction, or permanent injunction. Alleged road rage leads to arrest. A 22-year-old Odessa man was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon Wednesday after an alleged road rage incident. According to an Odessa Police Department report, several officers responded to North John Ben Shepherd and East 42nd Street around 10:20 a.m. Wednesday after a man called 911 to say someone in a GMC Sierra had just pointed a gun out of the window at him and he was following him. The caller gave dispatchers the alleged gunman's license plate number, and an officer saw the vehicle speed through a stop sign at French Avenue and Brittany Lane, according to the report. The officers also almost got hit by the GMC. Officers stopped the vehicle's driver at gunpoint and found a 9mm Sig Sauer inside, the report stated. They also found a witness who corroborated the 911 caller's story. Gregory James Morris, a convicted felon, was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, unlawfully carrying a weapon, and reckless driving. Morris remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on surety bonds totaling $50,500. Teen arrested accused in mall shooting. An 18-year-old Odessa resident was arrested late Friday night in connection with the shooting September 24th outside the Music City Mall. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers were dispatched to the Burlington Coat Factory about shots being fired, and when they arrived, they found a 14-year-old boy with a gunshot wound to the left side of his abdomen. Officers found four spent shell casings near one of the store's entrances, and they looked at surveillance video that showed three young men confronting the victim inside the mall and then fighting with him outside the mall in the parking lot, the report stated. One of the suspects was wearing a gray hoodie with the word AIR on the front and gray and white Nike shoes with black checkmark logos on them. The three suspects knocked the 14-year-old to the ground and ran away. When the teen got up, four gunshots were heard from the direction where the other three ran, the report stated. The surveillance video shows the victim running toward Burlington and the three suspects getting into a gray 2006 Mazda 6 and leaving, the report stated. The victim told police the person who shot him was wearing a gray hoodie and another person who shot at him was dressed all in black, according to the report. An investigation into the Mazda led police to John Elijah Sanchez, and after digging further, officers realized OPD had recently had contact with Sanchez while he was wearing a gray hoodie with the word AIR on it and black and white checkmark Nike shoes, the report stated. A warrant was issued for Sanchez's arrest September 27th. According to the report, Sanchez was arrested at gunpoint around 10:15 p.m. Friday after getting into a 2006 Mazda 6 at the Carriage House Apartments on North Dixie, and officers found a stolen Sig Sauer handgun and a THC electronic vape on Sanchez. They also found shell casings, live ammunition, paraphernalia, and other THC cartridge inside the car, the report stated. Sanchez was booked into the Ector County Jail Saturday on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, possession of a controlled substance, and theft of a firearm. He remained in custody Monday evening on surety bonds totaling $65,000. Trial opens in Odessa with body dash cam video. Jurors who will decide the fate of an Odessa man accused of fleeing from a handful of police officers in June 2021 watched dash cam and body cam videos of the event Monday during the first day of trial. Roberto Serrano Franco, 45, is facing four counts of aggravated assault against a public servant and one count of evading arrest with a vehicle. Odessa Police Officer Calvin Tagler was the first witness called to the stand by Assistant Ector County District Attorney Melissa Williams. Taylor testified the police department received a call about a stolen work truck around 2:30 a.m. June 23, 2021, and officers spotted it inside a garage near 37th Street and Andrews Highway. The officer told jurors he saw three people standing outside the garage, which had its door halfway open. Two of the three ran inside when they spotted him, and he was able to detain the other one, telling him if he tried to run, his canine partner would bite him. Jurors watched as someone inside the garage started up the stolen vehicle, and Taylor moved to the rear of his patrol unit to get stop sticks. They then saw the truck come careening through the garage door and head down the alley as multiple shots are fired. They also heard OPD officer Bailey Thurman yell out in pain and saw the other officers rush to his side. Thurman explained the stolen truck had hit a parked vehicle, which hit him. Taylor told jurors that up until that point, he didn't know if the suspect had returned fire and if Thurman had been hit by that gunfire. During her opening statement, Williams told jurors that after Franco left the scene, he ran a red light on Andrews, slamming into a vehicle being driven by a woman taking her mother to dialysis. Officers found the wrecked truck and Franco the next day. When officers moved in to arrest Franco, Williams said he ran into and out of a neighbor's home whom he didn't know, but he was caught. Authorities found Franco's blood in the stolen vehicle, and he confessed he stole it and fled from authorities, Williams said. He said he thought he had a warrant. Defense attorney Kevin Ecker reserved his opening statement for when the state risks its case. Judge Den Wallen of the 70th Ector County District Court is presiding over the trial. Drivers must be aware as days get shorter. Pedestrian traffic deaths increase in Texas during fall and winter months. For drivers, it will be more challenging to see pedestrians as days get shorter during the fall and winter months, a Texas Department of Transportation press release stated. That's why TxDOT's Be Safe, Drive Smart Pedestrian Safety campaign is kicking off National Pedestrian Safety Month today, reminding drivers and pedestrians to stay alert and watch out for each other. Pedestrian traffic fatalities increased by 15% in Texas in 2021. The state saw 5,366 traffic crashes involving pedestrians, resulting in 841 fatalities and 1,470 serious injuries. The fall season means not only a shift to cooler temperatures, but also fewer hours of daylight, and visibility becomes an issue. TxDOT Executive Director Mark Williams stated in a press release, "It's important for motorists to pay attention and look out for people walking, and for pedestrians to make sure they take steps to be seen." The 12-county Odessa District had 18 pedestrian fatalities in 2021. Half of those were in Odessa Midland area. TxDOT's pedestrian safety campaign includes TV and radio spots, billboards, and digital advertising. TxDOT will also be hitting the streets and bringing its walking billboards, street teams wearing sandwich boards, to the 10 districts that saw the highest numbers of fatalities from pedestrian-related traffic crashes. To address the high number of pedestrian-related crashes and fatalities in these areas, TxDOT is deploying more than 30 street teams to display pedestrian safety messages in places where vehicles and pedestrians share the road. Stop for pedestrians in crosswalks. When turning, yield the right-of-way to pedestrians. Be cautious when passing stopped buses or other vehicles. Pay attention and put your phone away so you're always prepared if pedestrians enter your path. Follow the posted speed limit and drive to conditions. For people walking, Cross the street only in intersections and crosswalks. Look left, right, then left again before crossing. Make eye contact with drivers before crossing. Don't assume the drivers see you. Follow all traffic and crosswalk signals. Use the sidewalk. If there isn't one, walk on the left side of the road facing oncoming traffic. When walking, put away electronic devices that take your eyes and ears off the road. Wear reflective material or use a flashlight at night. TxDOT encourages everyone to follow these safety tips to prevent a deadly encounter. United Grocery Stores, Odessa Arts to announce partnership. Odessa Arts and United Grocery Stores will be announcing a new continued partnership at 10 a.m. Wednesday in the Starbucks area on Market Street, on 42nd Street and John Ben Shepherd Parkway, a press release detailed. We have been so happy developing this relationship, Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hemp stated in the press release. United was the first business to donate to the Bright Star mural. From that time on, our partnership has been great for the community. I'm excited to take it to the next level. United Grocery's regional manager, John Jameson, also stated in the press release, Odessa Arts has been a great supporter of United and we're thrilled for what lies ahead. The presentation will include details on Beacon West, Odessa Arts' new quarterly arts magazine, additional locations for purchase, Basin 51 cards, and information on Mural Fest 23, Odessa Arts flagship event slated for May 2023.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.